The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis, the 9th chapter. And while you're turning there, anybody that's below 10, the age of 10 or below, if you'll answer this question and tell me what I'm about to preach on when I give you this word, then I'll buy your lunch sometime, okay? Parents, 10 and below, if you turn to Genesis 9, I want to speak to you this morning on Roy G. Biv. Anybody 10 and below get that? Roy G. Biv. Well, I guess I won't be buying anybody lunch. Okay, we'll go 10 and up now. Anybody above 10 years old want to tell me what I'm preaching on this morning with Roy G. Biv? Brother Eric? That's it. The colors of the spectrum, which relate to what we see in the sky, the rainbow. Roy G. Biv, the colors of the spectrum, you know, red, orange, yellow, Roy, R-O-Y-G, green, blue, indigo, and violet. I have to run it down in my head. Well, you younger guys had a chance. I got to buy Brother Eric some lunch now. In Genesis, the 9th chapter is the first place that you read about the rainbow. I want to talk to you this morning about, specifically, the rainbow and the colors of the rainbow. Now, as we look at Genesis 9 and specifically verse 12, we'll read a couple verses above that. I want you to know that the significance of the rainbow has absolutely nothing to do with the homosexual movement today. The true significance of the rainbow has nothing to do with LGBT or anything like that. And you will see, hopefully from the sermon that I'm going to preach to you this morning, that it is a perversion of a glorious truth that God has in His Word. You see how modern times and culture can twist something pure and beautiful and a token that God has given you for comfort and hope and peace and turn it into something, when I look at it now and see it on paper and related to that movement, it just turns me inside out. But when I see it in the sky, I praise God for it. A few weeks ago, this has been on my mind for some time, the rainbow. A few weeks ago, I had pulled up into my brother's driveway to pick up somebody or drop somebody off. We're always exchanging children, you know, from time to time. And it was one of those rainy days around after Christmas when it started really raining. And it was just an overcast, dark day, middle of the day, or morning. And when I pulled up into his driveway, I had several witnesses in there with me. So I've got witnesses to prove. And I looked over to my right and the clouds broke. And I saw a half rainbow that I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I mean, it was mesmerizing. It was captivating. It was so amazing. And it was so close that when it came down into the green grass of the field, that it was just, you could see the grass behind it. It was like it splayed, if you know that word. It just kind of spread across the bottom. I couldn't believe, and there was no pot of gold. I looked very carefully because I was fixing to take off running if I saw a pot of gold. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I've seen full half rainbows, but that little quarter rainbow, it was dazzling. It was mesmerizing. And as quick as it came, it was gone, just like that. It was a dark day. The clouds covered up. But you could see it come out of the sky and touch the ground. You could see the trees behind it. I didn't even have time to get my phone. Some of you young guys were there with me and saw that. And we just sat there amazed. You didn't have time to call anybody. You know, sometimes when you see a big rainbow, you'll call, say, hey, look, you know, look out the window, look out the door. And I've called people several miles away. And because of the optical things that are involved with the rainbow, they couldn't see it. So I want to talk to you about the rainbow this morning. Mesmerizing, dazzling, makes your heart leap. If you have any kind of heart at all, it makes your heart leap when you see a spectacle like that. And in Genesis 9, it says in verse 8 that God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. This is after the flood, okay? And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant. Notice the language. We've already heard wonderful words this morning about the covenant. He says, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, I do set my bow, my rainbow, in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The word token there just means an object that indicates a fact or an event. It also, a token can serve as proof of a fact. It can also serve as an act to demonstrate divine power and authority, or a mark giving security to the possessor. It can even be a password. A token can be a password, and a memorial or a keepsake. The word token is closely connected to the word sign. So literally, you'll see throughout the scripture when token is spoken of, and like in the Gospels, in one place the scripture will talk about a token. In the same section in another Gospel, it will talk about a sign. So understand, a token is something that is an evidence or a proof of a fact. Now here, the token, and by the way, there is debate over whether or not a rainbow had ever occurred before. If you read the scriptures carefully, it indicates that there had never been rain before. And so there might have been a rainbow, but if there was, there was no significance before as it was to the significance that God gave to it. Just picture yourself as one of those eight that were saved on the ark from perishing in the water. They were saved by water, and they come off the ark, and you know they've got to be wondering, well, I wonder when the Lord will judge the earth again, because they've seen an incredible global judgment of the earth where the waters, and don't tell me that a global flood can't happen. If you've ever seen the YouTube videos of the tsunamis, it is amazing how quickly something like that can come up, and the Lord could cover the whole earth just like that, and he did, but he won't ever do it again because he made a covenant. He said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water. So when you see that rainbow in the sky, as a matter of fact, Mom was talking to one of her cousins one time up north, and they were talking about some rainbow that had been seen. And Mom explained to her, you know, the significance of the rainbow. And she said, I've never heard that before. Isn't that sad? How many people in the world would only associate the rainbow with some despicable, abominable, sinful movement? See? Understand the significance of the rainbow. God set it in the sky. He said, I set my rainbow. It's his rainbow. He created the physics that would cause a rainbow. He said, I set it in the sky. And when you see that rainbow, it's going to remind you that I'm never going to destroy the earth by water again. Now, he didn't say he wouldn't destroy the earth again, did he? He's just not going to do it by water. There's another time coming, he's going to do it by fire. But understand, he said, I won't do it by water again. And notice this is a two-sided, unconditional covenant. God said, he didn't say to Noah, if you won't ever drink any alcohol, or if you won't ever do anything wrong, then I'll keep my covenant. Because Noah's drunk in just a few weeks. Aren't you glad the covenant wasn't based on Noah's actions? It was a two-sided, in other words, there was a beneficiary to the covenant, and it was God who agreed with himself to keep the covenant. See, does that not remind you of something? Your salvation is a two-sided, unconditional covenant. God made the covenant with you as a child of God, with his elect before the foundation of the world. It's a covenant ordered in all things sure. And it's God who said, I'll keep the condition for this covenant. Same thing with this. God said, no, I'm not basing it on your good works. I'm not basing it on your son's good works. He said, I know things are going to get messy again, but I'm making a covenant. And I'm telling you, I'm never going to destroy the earth by water again. He goes on and says, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow, now watch this language and watch how scientific this is, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. You will never see a rainbow in the sun unless somebody fabricates one somehow with white light. But from a natural phenomenon, you'll never see a rainbow in the sun. It's always in the cloud. It's always the light of the sun reflecting off of the cloud and the rain coming down in the cloud. God is a very scientific God. He says, the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I, the Lord says, I will remember my covenant. Now, there's a benefit to Noah, for sure. Noah would remember that God made his covenant. Noah would remember that God said he would remember his covenant. He says, it is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The significance of the rainbow is every time you see that rainbow in the sky, you can be reminded of a promise that was made, a covenant that was made. The covenant just means a contract, an agreement. God agreed with himself, and he said, here's the sign of my agreement with myself that benefits you, because no flood will ever destroy the earth again. And it's that rainbow up in the sky. Now, there's other tokens and signs that you'll find in the Scripture. The Scripture's filled with tokens and signs. Now, if you remember in the days of Jesus, it said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said, there shall no sign be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So you see, we need a sign about Jesus. We need a token about Jesus. Jesus said the token, the sign, and that time was in the same way that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so would the Son of Man, so would Jesus be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. That's a token. That's a sign. It wasn't good enough for those people, by the way. I hope one of the reasons for preaching this is that you're satisfied with the tokens that God has given you. Now listen to this. There's other tokens. You can read about the token or the sign of circumcision. God gave that to Abraham. It says in the book of Romans that it was a seal. Another way to look at a token is a seal. It says that circumcision in those days was a seal of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Another sign, there's all kinds of signs and tokens throughout the book of Exodus. You know, the blood on the doorpost and above the doorpost was a token. So when God came through to destroy the firstborn of Egypt, when he saw the blood, it was a token that that house was protected by the information that God had given them. And so he passed over it. See, that was a token for God. Another token that you have in the book of Exodus is the plagues. I mean, my goodness, you know, after frogs have come and filled up your cereal bowl in your bed, and after locusts have eaten up all of your apple trees and gotten in your face, and flies were buzzing around and laying larvae in your hair and all over your body, and the water turned to blood, and all of a sudden hailstones start coming down from the sky made out of ice, and they begin to burn up things. That's sort of, you know, there's a pretty good sign that God's involved, right? I mean, and the evil magicians of the Pharaoh finally said, you know, let him go. This is of God. You know, we can hang with him all the way up to maybe one or two plagues and do some tricks, you know. They couldn't hang with him anymore. It's a sign from God. It's a token from God. That's what the plagues were. The Passover supper itself was a token. What was it a token of? Well, it was a token of their deliverance from Egypt, for sure. But it also was a token of something that was yet to come. And the blood of our Passover, capital P, Jesus Christ, is our Passover. You see? Also, what about the Red Sea? You need a sign? You know, I think there was some country comedian. I've never heard it, and I don't recommend it. But, you know, it was some kind of funny thing he would say. Here's your sign, you know. Well, look at this. In a godly, spiritual way, do you need a sign that this is from God? When the Red Sea parts and you go across and you look back and the Egyptians' army is destroyed, that's a pretty good sign, isn't it? Is God on our side? I would say so if you had made it across that Red Sea. And think about what those people did. We laugh and chuckle, and I do too. But think about how unfaithful they were, and they had those signs. Oh, child of God, you've got signs and tokens today. We're going to talk about those. One of those tokens still around, still hanging around, so you'll excuse my pun, is the rainbow. Another sign, what about the token of the scarlet line in the window when Rahab let the spies down in the city of Jericho? The walls came tumbling down later, you know, and Jericho, Rahab said, spare me. And so the spies said, take this line that you've let us down by, the scarlet line, the red line. It was a line of color. That was the color of blood, by the way. He said, bind this line in the window, and it will be a token for us. So when we come and destroy the city, when we see the scarlet line, we'll spare it. Oh, that's a token pointing to the Son of God one day, who was our scarlet line. And when the Lord sees the scarlet line of Jesus Christ, it's a token to him. He spares us, you see. Tokens are all throughout the Word of God. There's the token in this is a good one in Numbers 26:10. I'm only going to give you about four scriptures to turn to here this morning. One of those is Genesis 9. But I'll just mention a few others. In Numbers 26:10 is where the rebels were swallowed up by the earthquake. You know, when they rebelled against Moses. I mean, you know, would you need a sign any better than that? Should we rebel against Moses or not? Yeah, I remember the sign God gave us is that whole group of people got swallowed up by an earthquake and the earth closed in upon them. I don't think we'll rebel. You see? God said, that's a token that you don't need to rebel against me. Don't mess with my man Moses. What about in the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, where it said, I will give you a sign, the Lord said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. That's a token. That's a sign. It wasn't a young woman listed in the scripture. It says a virgin shall conceive. It was a miracle That was a sign from God. Did you know the Word of God itself is a sign? Over in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, as God spoke at Mount Sinai and the mountain shook, He said, I'm gonna speak again one day. And He says, the things that are eternal will remain. But when I speak one day at the end of time, the things that are not eternal, that are temporal, are going to be shaken apart. Isn't that something? You ever seen somebody sift something in a sifter? You know, and they sift out what they don't want. Well, that's what God's going to do. The token that we have is He spoke on Mount Sinai and the mountain trembled in the days of Moses. And when He comes back, it says in Hebrews 12, He's going to speak yet again. And the things that are temporal, like mountains and trees and all of the things we see around us, are just going to shake apart. And what will be left? The eternal things. That's a token for you that God leaves for us. You know, a token can be an evil thing. Judas said, I'll give you a token. The man whom I kiss on the cheek is going to be the one you take. Speaking of Jesus, He said to the Romans and to the Jews, He said, they didn't even recognize Jesus by a halo over His head or by Him floating along the ground. He said, the man that I kiss, that'll be your token. And when you see me kiss that man, say, Hail, Master, and give him a kiss. Take him. He's the one. That was an evil token, wasn't it? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 5, the Apostle Paul said, Your patience and your faith in all of your persecution and tribulation is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. You say, what's the point of me being patient? What's the point of me enduring? It's a token of the judgment of God because you're trusting in God to take care and settle it all down one day, no matter what you face. So, what about the rainbow as a token? We've already said that it was something that was a token of the unconditional covenant that God said, I'll never flood the earth again. You know, a rainbow is always in a bow. Now, you might see, like I saw, just a quarter of it. But it's always, as a matter of fact, scientifically, it's really a circle. But the level that we view it on, you can't see the entire circle. You can only see it from your perspective. Now, I have been out pressure washing things on the farm before. And the barn sits facing where you pressure wash. The sun going down would be to your back. And I've sat there and pressure washed things before in this little area. And I have, the word create is not the right word, but I have made a rainbow through that mist and the sun shining on it. I've seen an entire circle of a small rainbow. And I would stop there. And y'all could just see me standing there on the farm. Dad's probably wondering why I'm not getting through quick. And I'm just spraying this rainbow. Wow, here it is. It's going all the way around. So a rainbow is a full circle, but you just can't see but half of it when you see it against the cloud. Now listen to this. A rainbow is always formed in the sky opposite of the sun for reflection. It's by reflection. And a rainbow is, the rainbow colors, I did not know this until I studied it out, they're always in the same order. Roy G. Biv. They're always in the same order. If you see a double rainbow reflected behind the primary rainbow, the order is reversed. Because it's a reflection back of that very rainbow. But it's always, the primary rainbow is always Roy, red first, and closes out with violet. And it always involves reflection, refraction, and dispersion. You say, that's all technical terms. I want you to listen to this. I want you to think about the Son of God as we consider these things. Reflection is just like you go up to a mirror and you see your reflection, okay? We got that one down. That's pretty easy. Refraction has to do whenever that reflection bounces back. All right? And dispersion has to do with the way that it bounces back. So get this. I'm not a science professor, but it is really interesting to see. The way a rainbow is formed is there's millions and billions of drops of rain falling at different speeds and different heights. And you have the white light or the pure light of the sun shining upon that cloud and penetrating those individual little raindrops. And when they go into the raindrop, they reflect off the back wall of the raindrop, are refracted back out and disperse in a different way. If you want to understand refraction a little bit better, those of you that have ever shot a pistol, I've done it many times, into the creek. If you've ever shot a pistol or a rifle into water, whenever you shoot it into the medium of water, it goes a different direction. Understand? You're aiming for something. Say you're aiming for a fish in that water. It's hard to shoot a fish unless you're right over the top of him. But if you shoot in that water, you're entering a different medium. That bullet is entering a different medium. And when it goes into a different medium, water, it changes the direction of it. Same thing with white light going into raindrops. It enters a different medium. And guess what happens? A prism occurs. A prism, a spectrum. The medium of the raindrop causes the white light to disperse in these, what we know as seven colors. The red all the way down to the violet. So, you know what that means? And this is a fact. The white light that comes from the sun is made up of those colors. And it takes the medium of the raindrop to send it back and show the true colors of that white light. Is that not a beautiful picture of the white, holy purity of the sun, S-O-N, of God? He is white, He is pure, He is holy, and yet He is diverse because He's made up of all of these different colors, if you will, and who He is. Now, it's always reflected in the same direction. It's always refracted in the same way. The red is on top and the violet is on the bottom. Now, I want you to think about those colors themselves. You say, what else does the Bible have to say about the rainbow? Look at Revelation 4. Revelation is the fourth chapter. Isn't that interesting? You see a rainbow in Genesis, the opening book, and you also see a rainbow in the ending book, Revelation. Revelation 4:1, the Apostle John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. I'm sorry, I'm not going to let the LGBT movement have my rainbow. I'm not going to let it happen. That rainbow is in heaven, and he says it was round about the throne in a sight like unto an emerald. And you know what emerald is? It's, remember the Emerald City in the Wizard of Oz? It's green. What's the primary center color of that rainbow? It's green, you see. John goes up into heaven. He gets caught up in there. And one of the first dazzling things that he noticed is the spectrum of colors that stands, that goes over the throne. Now, if you want to know, that has occurred another time. In Ezekiel, the first chapter, you don't turn there, but in Ezekiel, the first chapter, when Ezekiel was a prisoner and he was down by the river and he was in prison from being taken captive in Jerusalem, it says that on a particular day that those cherubims came down to this earth and manifested themselves to him. The same four beasts that were here in the throne room that John sees, they came down to the earth. That's that old wheel within a wheel that men have speculated for so many years about what it was. I don't care what it was. I know Ezekiel knew what it was. That's all that matters to me. And so he sees these four beasts with lions going up to a crystal, something like a crystal, an upside down crystal pond, if you will, or body of water. And Ezekiel could see up through that clear crystal. And guess what he saw? He saw the Son of God. He saw the God in heaven on the throne, standing there with a rainbow over the top. You know what the difference is? Ezekiel was seeing the perspective of the throne room from down below looking up, because it says he looked and saw the man looking down, God looking down. And he sees the rainbow. And John is actually in the throne room. How about that? John's in the throne room and he's looking and he sees this glorious rainbow. So, the significance of the rainbow is not just for the fact that God is not going to destroy the earth by water again. But the significance of the rainbow is God's judgment is going to pass over you. That's what it means. He has meted out His judgment on the perfect Son of God. And therefore, His judgment is not going to be meted out on you. So when you see the rainbow, you can say, Brother Tim told me from the Word of God, and hopefully you'll read it yourself, that the rainbow stands for the Lord will never flood the earth again. It also stands for in heaven today that the Lord will not hold your sins against you. So you can see that in the red, you can see the blood of Jesus. In the orange, you can see that that's an autumn color. It's a decaying color where things have decayed and died. In the yellow, you can see something that is old and dying. In the green, you can see something lively and vibrant, because the Lord, and when you speak of life in the Word of God, He speaks of green, the color green. And then when you see blue, you can think of the royal blue that Jesus Himself clothed Himself in. And when you see, what's next? Roy, G, Biv. And when you see indigo, you can think of purple, which is a kingly color. Oh, and when you see violet, oh, you ladies are going to love this. Violet is basically pink. Sorry, guys. It's a romantic color. You know that? It's a romantic color. Pinkish, mysterious, springtime, lavender. It suggests refinement. It suggests grace. It suggests elegance and specialness. Isn't it interesting that that's the last one? It starts out red, which is what you notice first, and that's what you ought to notice here in this life, because it took the red blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sins so that you can experience the special, romantic, husband and wife love that Jesus as the husband has for his wife, which is you. Oh, there's a great significance to the rainbow. Let me share this with you in closing. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. I'll tell you what, there's some things sometimes that just jump out at you. I hope I can share this appropriately and convey it appropriately. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Watch this now in verse 7. Isaiah 54 and 7. I got two more scriptures I'm going to give to you. Isaiah 54 and 7, he says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." Now we're talking about the rainbow. Listen, in a little wrath, God says, "I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." And by the way, what are the first three letters of Redeemer? Red, like the red in the rainbow. And it says here, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth or angry with thee, nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee." Where's our token? What's our token here? "Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Now watch this, and I love this language. "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest." Are you afflicted? Are you tossed with tempest? Are you up one day and down the next? Are you here? Are you there? Does it cause you so much pain like it causes me when I look and I see some godly abominable reference to the rainbow? Does it cause you pain to see the way that you have troubles in your life? He says you are afflicted and you're tossed with tempests and you're not comforted. "Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors." There's your token right there. There's your rainbow. You know what laying the stones mean? Sister Tracy and I, when we lived in the old farmhouse there, one of the times we lived there, we built a sidewalk and we got some old brick. It's still there. You can go see it. If you think it's not very pretty, it's my fault, okay? I did the laying, okay? She did the coordinating, of course. But this is the idea of laying a sidewalk. You know, you remember, I already referenced the Wizard of Oz. Follow the yellow brick road. This right here is follow the rainbow road. He says, "I will lay your stones. I'll make your path for you with fair colors and lay the foundations with sapphires." So literally, your way is paved by the blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus, by the life, the green, glowing life of Jesus. You know the word fair colors, it means it's a cosmetic reference. You ladies will like that. It refers to painting. It refers to even painting on something. It refers to putting some colorful things on. And it also goes with the word glistering. And if you think about the word glistering and bright, over in the book of Luke, I believe it is, it's where they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it says that Peter looked upon Jesus when he was transfigured before them, and it says that he was white and glistering. He was very colorful. See? And here it says, "I will lay your stones with fair colors," with a rainbow, the colors of the rainbow, so that you'll have a place to walk. Revelation, the 21st chapter, is a reference that I found there in my Bible. And I thought, what in the world does that have to do with Revelation 21? So I began to study it out. This is amazing. Revelation 21 is talking about, in verse, the whole chapter is talking about the new Jerusalem, the city of God, descending from the heavens. What we have to look forward to. And he says in verse 19, Revelation 21 and 19, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx or onyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst." What in the world does that have to do? Did you know that that tracks the colors of the rainbow? Guess what jasper is? It's red. Guess what sapphire is? It's orange. Guess what chalcedony is? It's yellowish. Guess about the emerald. It's green, right? What about the onyx? It's green to blue. The chrysolite is lighter green. The beryl is aquamarine, bluish. The topaz is blue. The chrysoprasus is a grassy green color. The jacinth is a blue stone that turns purple. The amethyst is, you guessed it, violet. So it might be, we might want to revise our science a little bit because the Lord has 12 colors there in His rainbow. Man's only got 7. You know why? Because man can't fully see it all. Man can't fully see it all. I submit to you there's 12 colors there in the rainbow. You'll see them perfectly one day. John saw them right here. Well, there's a sardis thrown in there too. That's a ruby. Right in the middle of all that. You know, we go from Roy, from R, you know, all the way down to violet. And there's green in the middle. And then right in the middle, I was thinking, why is a sardius or a ruby thrown right there in the middle, right overshadowing that green? I'm going to tell you why. It's because the Lord doesn't want you to forget how you got your salvation. And it was by the ruby red blood of Jesus Christ that He shed. Don't you forget that blood. It started with the red blood of Jesus, and it was shed on the cross. And when you see Him in heaven one day, and you see that rainbow, and you see that judgment passed over you, it's going to be because of the red blood of the Son of God. Oh, child of God. God's paved your way. You've got the stones of the pavement to follow, and they're beautiful. You may not see all the colors here in this life, but you can see red, and you can see green. And you can see the romantic color of the love that God has for you. All encompassed in that glorious rainbow that is mesmerizing, that's captivating, that causes my heart to leap. Is that not a picture of the gospel message? You say, well, my heart doesn't leap. Then you need to get to looking at the right thing. Because when you see what Jesus has done for you and the tokens and the signs that He has given you, that you're going to be with Him one day, that all of this stuff here doesn't matter as much anymore. All the way we get worked up and the problems that we have and we think, oh, this will never end. I'm telling you, it's going to end. I don't share dreams much at all because I don't put any stock in dreams. The Lord said, if a man has a dream, let him tell it. And if a man has my word, let him preach it. What is the chaff to the wind? Dreams are chaff. Chaff to the wheat. Excuse me. What is the chaff to the wheat? Dreams are chaff. Wheat is the Word of God. But I had a dream a few weeks ago. And in that dream, I'm not saying it was from the Lord, but it's just ironic to me. In that dream, I was walking down McCool Road right by the pond with little sister Lila. She and I were holding hands. And we're just walking along. And all of a sudden, we started taking off in my dream. I love to fly in my dreams, by the way. I can remember 6, 7, 8 years old dreams in which I was flying. I love it. Because I've always wanted to fly. Always considered myself at heart some kind of superhero that just hadn't reached his potential yet, you know? Just kidding. Strike that from the record, Your Honor. So Sister Lila and I are walking along in my dream, and lo and behold, here comes a rainbow in my dream right down to us. And I'm thinking, oh, this is kind of scary. And we just walked on up that rainbow into the sky. And I woke up and I thought, man, I was flying again, walking up that rainbow. It's just a dream, but I liked it. Child of God, you're going to walk that rainbow into the sky one day. When the Son of God shows up and His voice shakes terribly the earth once more, and the things that are here will no longer be here because the power of His voice shakes them apart. And you'll see that throne room with the rainbow cast over it. And you'll know that's a sign and a token. But you won't need the sign and token anymore. Because you'll see with your own eyes the Son of God who paid for your sins. But that rainbow will be there. Don't let anybody take your rainbow away from you or the joy of it. Don't let them take it away. The rainbow says God is in charge. It's His rainbow. And it's a sign that He's going to pass over. He has passed over our sins. So the next time you see that rainbow, or dream about one like I did, or see something glorious and mesmerizing and dazzling like I saw out there in front of my brother's house that day, you remember that. It's a token of the covenant. And I pray to God this morning that the gospel message makes your heart leap and mesmerizes you and captivates you in thinking about what the Son of God did for you. As the song says, Thy walls are all of precious stone, most glorious to behold. Thy gates are richly set with pearls. Thy streets are paved with gold. Thy gardens and thy pleasant greens my study long have been. Such sparkling light by human sight hath never yet been seen. If heaven be thus glorious, Lord, why should I stay from thence? What folly 'tis that makes me dread to die and go from hence.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.